right, welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Carnell.
I'm Warren.
And I'm Eric from Steel and Oak.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah, so for the first time, I think just about ever, we're doing this actually like live in a tasting room of a real life brewery.
I've done one interview actually in, I think it was Edmonton or Calgary like this.
Well, you've done a few interviews.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was in Saskatchewan. That's what it was. There you go.
So the first time in BC.
Yes.
All right.
It's a provincial
guinea pig.
That's
great.
Right. Exciting. We're sitting in here feeling very awkward as everybody else is just enjoying their beers like normal people. And we have a bunch of audio equipment. But we've got Eric here at Steel and Oak. Steel and Oak, I think, is one of, like, you know, anybody who just about enjoys craft beer in this province is probably aware of and has enjoyed Steel and Oak beer. But, you know, thinking back to, like, 2014 when you guys got going, you know, is a very, I mean, not a different brewery in terms of place or space, but in terms of style. And it seems like you've really been able to put your stamp on it.
We've been trying to kind of, I mean, keep things interesting for us by having fun with it. But also, that's what people want. People always want something new. So we go back to kind of our roots all the time. We like to say we have German roots. Nobody here is actually German. But our original head brewer, Peter, he was trained in Germany. He's from here, but trained in Germany.
Right.
And so he came back with the kind of German way of doing things.
Yeah.
So lagers are huge. That's what I like to drink a lot of the time anyway, so we're going to keep brewing them. And we try to stay true to our roots. But that being said, that's not all I want to drink. I want to drink other stuff too. So, and I know other people too. And so I can't just make beer for myself. I got to make it for other people.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because as you say, you start out as this German brewery or a German-style brewery. Putting out these incredible German beers, and I think the thing that's brought people coming back all along is the quality has stayed the same way,
for sure.
Stayed high the whole way through, and it's really cool to see the consistent quality come. And then you know, I'm drinking the suburbs right now. I mean, that's you guys. You started out as a German brewery, and as you say, you're expanding. You guys got Daggerad. There's probably a war joke in there somewhere that I'm not going to attempt.
Yeah, so Suburbs, this is now the third version of Suburbs. We've done it every year now for 3 years.
Okay.
So Suburbs 3 is this one. And it started off, Daggerad and us were really good friends. Business friends, but also just friends.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be good for that. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about doing a collab. And we were like, well, how do we blend German and Belgian stuff together? And we were getting really nerdy and trying to do like a lagered Belgian beer and stuff that probably just wouldn't be the best. It'd probably be interesting, but you kind of not get the best of either of them. So why bother? And then I forget who it was, but somebody's just like, no, let's just do an IPA. And at that point, we had never, no, I think we had done one IPA before. And they had never done an IPA.
Yep.
And so...
Perfect.
We were just like, that's it. That's the thing. And then so we started doing it. And Suburbs 1 was great. Did it. Turned out nice and hoppy. We've learned a lot since then. They did Suburbs 2 at their place. So we did it over at Daggerad. And now we just released this one that they did here. And yeah, this time it's a double IPA.
Yeah.
Get a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Nice and hazy.
Yeah. We've learned how to keep the haze there. And
super citrusy, very fruity, tropical.
Yeah. And this one we fermented with a Kveik strain. The Norwegian yeast.
Yeah. It's a very popular yeast.
Right now. Everybody's using it now for good reason. Yeah. We've been doing a few beers with them now, a few in the tanks right now. So you'll see them coming out soon.
Very good.
And you ferment it super warm. I get stressed out because something seems wrong. But
like a Saison yeast, right?
Yeah, well, even warmer. Yeah. We're fermenting up to 40 degrees.
Wow.
So you touch the fermenter and it's
where does it
to
get to 40 degrees in Norway?
That's nuts.
And so, no, I don't know how these developed in Norway because, it doesn't get to 40
degrees. Beer brewed near hot springs or something.
Yeah.
But these yeasts just ferment super fast. And then this one's more tropical. Other strains are more citrusy. You get like Ton of Orange or Brass Neck collab, Kith and Kin.
Yep.
That came out early in the year. Was just like drinking orange juice almost. And there's zero oranges in there.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing to play with. We're still kind of figuring it out, but there's definitely a lot of potential.
Yeah, I'm loving the fact that you've always seemed to have an IPA on tap now.
Yeah, which we strive for it now. So now we basically have a tank that rotates with hoppy beers.
Nice.
So at least one. So either IPA, maybe a hoppy pale ale, depending on the season. But then we might have another tank or something else. So we definitely strive. We know people like hops.
You're always going to have that contingent. Yeah. There's always that craft brew fan who shows up and, I want your hoppiest IPA.
Yeah, we had that beginning when we first opened where people would come in, not even look at the menu and just be like, I'll have your IPA.
Don't have it.
And we'd have to just be like, we don't have an IPA. We've got all these things. We had an ESB at the time always on.
Yeah.
So that kind of satisfied them. But people would just not even look and just,
that's funny,
just get that. So we had to eventually bow down to the pressure.
But you know, you didn't just make an IPA. You made a really good IPA, and you keep doing that.
We strive for it. We're still trying to keep our touch to it, so we strive for balance, drinkability. So it's still gonna, even though this double IPA is pretty intense, you're not gonna drink it all the time.
Yeah.
But it still strives to be balanced and not just hit you in the face with one thing.
Yeah. Well, we talked about you being originally sort of a German-inspired brewery, and your core beers have changed over time. Can you kind of talk about what your core brand is these days?
We talk about this all the time. So our flagships are Red Pilsner, the Dark Lager, the Royal City Ale, the Roselle Wheat Ale, and then Simple Things is also a flagship. Lives in a little different thing because it's in a 6-pack instead of 4-pack.
Yeah.
But Simple Things, German Pilsner. Delicious. That's kind of going to our roots. Because everything else has a bit of a twist to it. I guess the Dark Lager is just a simple German beer, German-inspired beer. But the Red Pilsner is definitely not traditional. It's inspired by German beers, but it's definitely not a traditional one. So,
yeah,
we try to keep those very drinkable beers available. We always talk about, as people's tastes change, what we should change. So we're not, we know people's tastes are fluid. Look at the beers you were drinking 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They're very different. So if you keep making the same beers, people are going to stop drinking them.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was just drinking Palate Wreckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated IPAs 5 years ago. No, it's funny though, like when you say like what's the core brand of Steel & Oak, and as you were speaking, I was sort of thinking, like, what the heck? Yeah, if I'm thinking Steel & Oak. But I think like, and maybe
Red
I'm
Pills
just
is one that's been there from day
Red
one,
Pills,
right?
But I think it's like spot on branding and then just like high quality beer. Yeah. Like,
I mean, it used to be kind of that like lightly smoked beers were your core, right?
Yeah.
You had the smoked half all the time.
Yeah, we'll still do the smoked half of ice in the summer, but it's a here and then gone. So if you want it, if you see it, get it. And then I still love smoked beers. I was in Bamberg in Germany, where smoked beers are king in the summer.
Yeah.
And so we did release a Rauch beer, which is a traditional
German
style.
That's on the list right now, right?
Yeah. We did it in tasting room only. Can sold out quicker than we expected. We probably should have canned more. And draft is still kicking around slowly. But
Is that with Beechwood smoked?
Yeah, Beechwood smoked malt. Almost 100%. It's about 90-ish percent smoked malt.
Holy
shit. Yeah, so it's not for everyone. We realize that. But those who love it, love it.
Yeah, I got a lot.
It's definitely not my cup of tea. I prefer the smoked half and stuff more.
Yeah, which is fair. And we know that. I brew those all the time if I could. But I don't make beer for me. I make it for everyone else. So.
Well, it should be for you, too. Because if you're brewing beer you don't like, then you're probably not doing
it. So, we have a smaller tank that's a single brew that we just kind of get to experiment or do those beers that we just know are not for everyone, but we want to make.
Yeah.
So it keeps the brewers happy. And
that's important.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you talk about, brewing the beer that people want to drink. I mean, that used to be like the thing everyone used to say, like, oh, we're a brewery and we're just brewing the beer that we want to drink. And it's like, okay, cool. But like, you probably want to keep doing that. So you should be brewing beer that other people also want to drink.
That's exactly it.
It's a bit of a cop out line. Anyways. But what's interesting is that, like, you know, if you're a brewery, if you have a region or a community at your fingertips, who's really you're linked in with, you know, you can really lead your community to beer. Like, and we talk about, you know, how people have fluid tastes and everybody, you know, the Hazy IPA has been making inroads for years now. 2 years, maybe.
I don't think it's inroads anymore. It's just, like, dominating.
It's just, this is what it is. But, you know, then you come back and you think about simple things. And at the same time as you're having this hazy influx of beers, you're also having this sort of echo.
It's like a backlash almost.
Echo. And, you know, simple things is right up amongst those
beers. It's a damn good beer. I've been buying lots of it the last 8 months. It's delicious and it's well made and it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. It's a beer flavored beer.
Yeah. Well, like you go line up for your new hazy can release, and like not really line up in Vancouver because we're not there yet. But you go to a release, and like I swear to God, every conversation is about that hazy beer.
Yeah.
But also the really good lager that you just had like the week prior or whatever.
Everybody keeps saying that, and they've been saying this for years. So I don't know if it's ever going to be true. But they're like, this is the year of the lager.
I think it's coming. I think last year you were starting to see a resurgence, and I think this year it's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I think it is coming. Where
back to the traditional, the cleaner, lighter styles that are more difficult to make.
Yeah, and people just want a beer you can drink.
A lot
on a hot sunny day.
I don't necessarily need a challenge in my glass.
No. And there's still a place for all those beers. I want a double imperial stout. Yeah.
But on a beautiful afternoon on a patio when I'm sweating, I don't need to think about what's in my glass. I just want to have something refreshing.
But again, the thing that's, you know, I'm just like piling on compliments to Steel and Oaken here. I swear to God, I hate a lot of things. but as much as that, you know, year of the lager or whatever, this is the year of the lager, there's a lot of bad craft lagers out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's nice, you know, you can come back to simple things over and over and know what you're going to get. Actually, I've been hearing the hype on simple things over and over. This is my first time having it.
It's delicious.
I'm with you.
And it's exactly what you expect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? As you say, you want your double imperial stouts, you want your big hazy beers. And you want to have something that you can like put in the fridge and know it's there, and you know, just have with dinner, and not like, sometimes having a beer can be really difficult. You know, you open that fridge door and you're like,
decisions.
Yeah.
And that was our reasoning for putting it in a six pack. It's your crusher. You just have it in the back of your fridge at all times, and it's there ready for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Totally.
I guess, what's your background in brewing?
So, I mean, I homebrewed for years, and then I was basically looking for a job, and I got a part-time job here right as we were opening our doors. So I was here first day.
Okay.
But at that point, it was Peter, the original head brewer, on his own in the production side.
Yep.
And so they hired me knowing that, you know, if we get busy, we'll need some help. And you're probably the guy. And within a week, I was helping. and then I stopped working the tasting room pretty quickly and was just helping out. So it was just me, and I was shadowing under Peter. Great mentor. And he taught me a ton. And then I've been reading a ton and talking to everybody else. I have a background in engineering, which is not really exactly helpful, but it does help a lot.
Same background as Graham with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it definitely helps. It makes me be able to understand how everything works and do that. And then it's just a lot of research on my own, read a lot of books, articles, and that. And so, but this is the only commercial brewing experience that I have.
Cool.
It's kind of like I always think it's one of the best things about craft beer is like it can only help to have a theoretical background in chemistry or biology.
Oh, yeah.
But it can't be all of it. You know, you have to have the experience, and you have to have, you know, the ability to see the art in it as well.
Yeah. There's that creative component.
Which especially in North American beer, there is that creative, because most people don't have a formal education in beer.
Yeah.
And so everybody's just trying out new things, and that's how we get hazy IPA. Somebody tried it, and we're like, hey, this is cool. Whereas I was in Germany in the summer, and every brewer there has gone to school for 4 years for beer.
There's rules and laws.
You have to follow, and they make amazing beer, but they're not going outside the box too much.
Not too many hazy IPAs.
No, there's a few craft brewers kind of starting.
Except for Stone there.
Yeah, there's a few breaking around, and there's a few small breweries, but it's tough to compete with the really amazing quality, cheap beer that's available.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't have the creativity. They have the know-how.
Well, I think North Americans are starting to come around to this idea of how spoiled we are and like the good beer towns that dot North America. But like as you say, I was in Europe last summer, and it was just like, I was in Paris. And, like, Paris is such a shit beer town. It is so bad. Like, it's ridiculously bad. I was happy to leave. I love Paris, but I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, places are closed on Sunday. I'm sick of drinking Kronenbourg. And the one decent spot we found was called, like, Belgian Beer Project. And it, part of their advertising, part of their branding is literally, we opened in 2014. We don't have any of this history that other breweries do.
Right.
And they were proud of that, that they could sort of start something new. Yeah. And it's like
not locked into tradition.
No, and it's like you say, like in Germany, right? It's so much history of you want a good Pilsner, you know, like turn around, throw a stick, you'll hit something.
Well, the odd thing with the German breweries is a lot of them make one beer.
That's it. Yeah, you want a different beer.
A second one at Christmas, probably, and then that's it.
Yeah. You want a different beer, you drive 2 hours. Yeah. I went to, my brother was living in Leipzig, and we were in Europe for a holiday with my mom and I. We went and visited him, and I looked it up, and I was like, what's Leipzig's beer? Turns out it's Goza, which was cool. Okay. But it was like, all right, I'm drinking Goza, or like, Pilsner.
Like, you're drinking a Goza or a Goza or a Goza.
It's just, and it's wild. It's wild. Like we're very lucky here, but it's, you know, and also sort of speaks to this like give and take. Like Steel and Oak starts out with this vision of being a German inspired, German roots. And then, you know, you sort of have to change.
Well,
just
it's
like,
kind of a similar trajectory to Twin Sails.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right? The first year they were nothing but European styles.
And now they barely do European styles.
They got one. And everything else is hazy.
Or imperial or sour.
But they needed to do that because that's what the market wanted.
Yeah.
And they did it well.
Oh, yeah.
So good for them. Like, that's, they made the right call.
They sure did.
They are always busy.
Yeah.
Every time they release another one of those four packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Visa gets happy and the wallet gets lighter.
Anything exciting in the works coming down the pipe for the summer?
Yes.
That you can talk about?
I probably could if I could remember. there's been new beers coming out every couple weeks, which has been a lot of fun.
It's also a lot of work.
Yeah. And so we'll be bringing back some of our favorites. Smoked Taff is always going to be back. We'll keep doing these rotating IPAs, or hoppy beers, let's call it. And so every 4 weeks or so, you can expect to see a new one coming out. So, yeah, we've got a tank that's basically devoted to that. And so every cycle, there's a new one.
So always a good reason to come visit the tap room.
Yeah, we'll keep our lagers on a hot, sunny day. You can come by, but we'll keep things interesting, too. So we've got some cool ideas.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It moves fast. Like, if there's something you want to try, I was going to buy Boomerang, and I put it off because I was like, this Thursday we're going to go down to Steel and Oak. I'll try it on tap. It's gone.
Don't worry. It's a Boomerang. It'll come back.
Yeah. Next year, I feel like.
Yeah, we'll probably do it again next year. Yeah.
I'm choked.
I'm sure it's still around at liquor store somewhere, but we're sold out here.
I know.
You should know better. Yeah. Hazy, you go for it right away.
Well, Benny, she's gonna be pissed because I told her I picked herself up.
So, any murmurs involving expansion or anything like that?
No, we're basically confined by our four walls here.
Yeah.
We've tried to find space beside us or the other tenants.
That seems to be the biggest issue for most brewers.
They're not going to leave.
Yeah. Who needs an auto body shop? Like, come on, right?
There's an ICBC across the street. They're a perfect location. But we're pretty happy where we are. We got basically our full tank space. Yeah. We could brew a little bit more, especially in the winter, to really get it going. But I'm happy with this. You don't make better beer by making more of it.
True enough.
If anything, you can easily make worse, depending on how you do it.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to just kind of stay at this level. We'll be a little bit busier this summer than last summer.
Oh, probably.
All goes according to plan, but we're not going to grow a ton anymore.
Okay.
And so I'm good with that.
I know you've done a little bit of barrel aging. Do you have anything going on right now with barrels at all?
Not really. We do have a fooder right now that is borrowed from House of Funk Brewing that's going to open soon. They're going to need it back soon, so we're going to need to empty it soon because they're going to open hopefully by the end of the month or mid-next, or at least they're going to start getting beer in there. I don't know exactly the opening date. But yeah, they're going to need it back. So it's been aging in there. It's a Belgian golden ale, for better words. We might call it something else.
That
then.
Sounds lovely.
And then we threw some Brett in the fooder.
So
it's been aging in there, slowly fermenting. Hopefully it's attenuated all the way by now.
Hopefully.
Just to make sure we don't get bottle bombs. So
yeah,
we're being careful with that. And so that'll be released in a bit. We have a couple barrels full of stuff, but we're trying to find time for that.
Yeah.
It's been tough. We've been short-staffed. We got more people coming soonish, but it's an easy thing to kind of put off. Be like, I'm going to do that when we have time. So, but we do want to do it. I'd love to get a good mixed culture program going. Have maybe a few of the totes that you can fill with beer.
Yep.
And some barrels and stuff, and kind of play around with that and do small releases. It's never going to be our main focus. We're not Four Winds. We're not, that's not even their main focus, but they do a ton of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we don't have that. We don't have the space for it, and it's probably not just in our cards.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever do, was it a red and a white version of, was it a barley wine, was it?
Yeah.
Red and white wines? Would you ever do that again, do you think? Or?
I'm not against it. And it's finding the time and the space for it. But yeah, that was a great one. Because the exact same batch got split into red wine barrels and white wine barrels. And then we brought it back, sold them as two separate beers, even though they're the same base beer, just different barrels.
They were so different.
Yeah, they were completely different. And
I preferred the red, I think it was. But
I was a white guy.
There you go.
No.
No.
That's it. That conversation's over.
I wasn't going anywhere with that. So.
That's what I mean. No need to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rad. Well, thanks very much for chatting with us.
Yeah.
Enlightening.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate
it. Our pleasure.
Hope this is going well. Not too much noise in the
We can get it up right now. Down for sure.
Yeah. We got a guy.
We got a guy. Finally, we got a guy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
I got there first.
Thanks. Well, let's try some of these beers, damn it. Well, let's start with the simple things then, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not a beer that I would usually go for, because everyone knows that I do not like Yellow Fizzy.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I mean,
that said, last summer I started becoming really interested in lagers and pilsners and helles and all those lighter
with the
helles,
styles.
Right? Yeah, right. And I've as a brewer, I understand that those styles are more difficult to make because any flaws are going to show through, right? So when I find a really well-made Pilsner or lager style, it blows me away.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys did a great job on this, and it shows, right?
We're talking about Simple Things.
And Simple Things is one of those beers.
Yeah, it's
smells
got
the way it should. It tastes the way it should. It's really nicely balanced. It's got great flavor. And every time I've bought it, it's been solid and similar.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nose is all just, it's got lots of fruit and a little bit of grain in there.
You get that grainy, malty thing.
Actually, it's not a little bit of grain. It's a lot of bit of grain.
But it's balanced.
Yeah.
And it comes back to that, I mean, huge part of that is that consistency piece, because I don't know how many times, and I mean, I think it's compounded for me because I have a partner who will be really upset with me if I drink the wrong beer without her. But long story short, I mean, one of the beers that I keep coming back to is like Miller, what's it called?
High Life. God.
What? Because it's consistently
gross.
But you're right. They those big breweries, they go out of their way to make their beer taste exactly
no matter
the same,
what the
no matter where
are.
You buy it.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's just when I want a beer and I want it to taste a certain way, and I totally, a lot of macros taste terrible. That just happens to be the one to not piss my palate off too much.
I would equate that to Denny's restaurants.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go in the world. You go into a Denny's, you'll get that same shitty breakfast, and it'll be identical every time. Right?
So true. But getting back to this beer a little bit, on the flavor, it's the same.
Delicious.
It's just grainy.
It's got kind of a grassy... It's got that grassy, earthy hops there.
Definitely some
sharp,
fruit on the palate.
Finishes just slightly on the hoppy side, a little tiny bit bitter. But
yeah, definitely.
It's perfect.
Yeah. It does what it wants, or does what they want.
How's it going? So we got...
Hey, why don't you introduce yourself here?
I'm Kevin from Steelano.
Awesome. Hi, Kevin. What's your position at the brewery here?
Brand manager is what I'm called. So, yeah.
So, what does that kind of entail? Like, what's your day to day here?
It varies, really. I mean, I think as probably other people in the industry might know, like most breweries are small businesses, and in small businesses, people do different things, wear different hats. So, so I don't know. It's a combination of sort of general brand awareness, events, management stuff, a little bit of social media, other than what Jordan does, because Jordan still kind of takes care of our Instagram page, but other stuff I kind of manage as well. So,
yeah. First of all, I gotta apologize, because I think last time we chatted was at Hopwired.
We did, yes.
Yeah, and I listened to that podcast today in preparation while walking my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a few beers.
Everyone had. I can't remember. I feel like there was something you were harping on quite a bit.
It might have been.
Yeah.
How uncool I was and how cool
people... How cool we are, yeah.
And I was just, I'm sitting there going, like, I've been on the other side of that table. I would be sick of me in that situation.
It wasn't too bad.
Have you been with Steel and Oak the whole way through? No. How do you, because I think a lot of people be like, oh man, that sounds like a rad job.
Right.
How do I get into something like that?
I've been with Steel and Oak, just coming on 2 years now. I worked for another brewery prior, well, a couple other breweries prior to this. But my background actually is in radio, of all things. Yeah, I used to produce radio commercials. I did that for 10 years, and then I got sick of it, and I really liked beer, and I had been doing some other stuff on the side, beer-related stuff, and it just seemed like a natural fit, and basically this position came about of just getting to know some people that worked here, and they had an opportunity and wanted to fill a spot, and I filled that spot, so...
We're not outing you. You were doing the sandwich that beer.
Yeah. That's me. So
that's,
yeah,
that's cool. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
For sure. You still do it, right? Just on the event side now, right?
So I no longer do like I don't really like write a blog and do like that kind of stuff. But yeah, we still run an event every year. Still eat a lot of sandwiches and drink a lot of beer. So yeah, you know, that's the
life
fun
goals.
Part. Yeah, exactly. I know one of my friends always jokes. She says that I turned my favorite hobbies into a job, and yeah, I was like, yeah, I guess I kind of did. So yeah.
She's just jealous.
Yeah.
We all want to get paid for our hobbies, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Sweet.
So it's a bit of a 2-person team with you and Jordan running. Behind the scenes here and there?
When it comes to social media, I mean, Steel and Oak is very much, I mean, it's very much Jordan's kind of personality, I guess. So he still does a majority, like I said, on Instagram for sure. It's kind of like Steel and Oak through the eyes of Jordan.
Yeah.
And also in a lot of the, like, the branding and, like, what we call beers and stuff like that, but I've started to, some of that stuff is shifting over to me, so I'm actually trying to find this, like, fine line between, like, me and Jordan, you know, because, like, Steel and Oak does have, like, a personality that he kind of created, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, like, still stay in that vein, but not totally, like, just do exactly what he did before, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, craft beer. I always the argument I always make, and I don't even know what this truly means, but I would say it's like craft beer to me is sort of like this post-consumerism thing, right? Or this post-capitalism thing where we're looking past the product itself into the whole industry, into everything it represents. And I think the strongest craft breweries, the strongest craft brewery brands, if you want to put it that way, are the ones who have a really strong idea of their personality and what they are selling or what their experience is.
Yeah, I think it's like there's an identity kind of behind the brand. And, like, I think if you look at us, I mean, I don't think anyone that knows Steel and Oak knows we're in New Westminster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no... If you don't, you're missing something but that's on purpose, right? Yeah. I mean, like, those are our two owners are born and bred New West guys, and they wanted to bring a really cool brewery to New West, and they've done that, and our growth and our success is kind of all in line with sort of that those roots and that identity. So
yeah, it's easy to build that brand when it's your community and you've already got ties to it.
Yeah, when you're passionate about it, and you love where you're from, and you so yeah, it's an easy. I think it's an easy connection to make. So
it's, I mean, when it's real, I mean, it comes off as authentic, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
what a lot of us are buying, right?
Yeah,
a lot of us, some of us are just coming here and pretending we live in New West because now it's cool. Thanks.
I'm New West adjacent.
There you go. Well, I was gonna say if you most people from New West will tell you that you should move to New West.
Yeah.
So, I don't live here yet, but I hear it every day that I should. So
I lived here for a while.
Yeah.
Back when.
I live in Port Moody, so I tell people the same thing. But
we got more breweries.
Yeah, that's true.
Per square foot.
Yeah, that's true. Per one street.
Yeah.
Hopefully, New West will get its second one soon.
Yeah. Well,
ABC's on the way, right?
That's what everyone hears. Yeah. I mean, I know. That being said, like, I know there's often challenges that come with starting a brewery.
Yes, there are.
So I mean, good luck to those guys. And like, I think us in New West, like, we're excited that there's going to be another game in town. You know, so we've already done a collab. Like, we did a collab beer with them last summer.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I think we're excited for them to open and you know, give New West people another option as well.
Well, it's kind of nice. I mean, you know. It's New West is the the first city in the European model in BC.
Oh, it was the original capital of BC. Yeah.
And also like real strong like brewing roots too. I mean, with Labatt. Obviously Labatt's, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't think Labatt's was always shitty, but back in the day, it was something to be proud of, right?
Before craft beer was a thing, Labatt was a big part of BC, right?
A big part of this community too, right? Yeah. So
well, even before that, I think it was Royal City Brewing.
Yeah, smaller ones.
Way back. It was a part of that Labatt's.
Yeah, I don't know what the other one was, but yeah, there was an original one. Yeah, that was like Royal City, or I think there's even one that was just called like BC Brewery or something like that. Or,
beers, you know, like most. Most places in the world has, you know, some facsimile close to beer.
Well, you're not a real city or a real country until you have a brewery.
Yeah. There's an argument, like, I studied history, guys.
I guess
take
my
word for
real,
it.
There's a bunch of countries, then, that aren't real countries.
That's right.
Well, literally, there's been historical arguments made that civilization was born out of the brewing process.
It damn was.
Rather than the other way
Nobody
around.
Nobody'd be farming if it wasn't for beer.
That's right. They were like, oh, shit. This wheat water tastes pretty good.
Yeah, right.
It's time to start living in apartment buildings.
There's lots to say too that civilization's still only around because of alcohol, because you couldn't drink the water for a lot of the history.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, I drink more beer than water. I know that. So,
so do I.
There's a lot of water in beer. Come on,
yeah, it's like 90% or something.
Yeah, I'm convinced it must hydrate you. Like, I don't believe that.
I don't think it does, but.
Every essential mineral that your body needs is in that glass.
All right, there you go.
Solid.
I always say I'm no scientist, but I'll take you for your word.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rad.
I guess what is coming up for Steel and Oak, like event side and everything in the next couple months here?
Yeah, we got a lot of your events that everyone else is doing, all the summer beer festivals. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. They're all the time. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
I think like you got to get a little bit selective nowadays, and you can't do everything, but we still try to do all the ones that we really like and that we think are fun. So like Farmhouse Fest coming up, that's exciting.
That's
one for us.
One.
Yeah, it's one of the best in the province.
Everyone likes that. And actually then the day after Farmhouse Fest, we have gotten into the habit of having our anniversary party that day. So that's in July. This will be our fifth anniversary. So that's kind of like my big project at the moment. We're expecting a big crowd. Like last year we had something like 750 people come through, and so this year we're expecting even more, hopefully, and we'll have lots of beer, lots of food, and good times.
Use your parking lot space out back.
We do out back, and it's always a great time. And again, New West, like that's the thing. New West comes out like it's not like other places where people say, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll be there," and they don't. In New West, like people, if they say they're coming. They're coming, so nice. So that's cool, and we got a couple other ideas we're throwing around for the summer to try to you know, do some fun things and mix in some like food events and stuff like that. So
maybe some sandwiches.
Maybe sandwiches. maybe. But yeah, we got lots going on, and you know, we're obviously lots of new beers coming out. I mean, we've been releasing beers like crazy.
One a month?
It was one a week for a while, to be honest. Yeah. Now we slowed down a little bit, but yeah, a lot of collabs and stuff like that. So it's been fun, and it's just it's exciting. So
do you have any more collabs coming that you can talk about, that you know about?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing one with Brew Hall.
Nice.
So actually, we did two. So we did one there and then one here. So so that should be pretty cool. Those guys are all about.
Yeah, Kerry's great.
The collabs, yeah, they're cool guys. And so that's coming up. Nothing else that I can think of off the top of my head. Twin Sales. We got one with Twin Sales.
Oh, nice.
So,
is it fancy?
Yeah. Well, it was done at Twin Sales.
Okay.
So,
it's hazy.
Yeah, I don't think they know how to unhaze beer. No, I'm just kidding. Those guys are great.
Even the stouts are hazy, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so that'll be out through those guys
cool.
Sometime soon. So
you guys could have done a hazy lager, except 33 XP tried it first.
I did. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what's your favorite beer on the menu here currently, at least?
I mean, my favorite beer is our dark lager. I mean, that's the beer that if I had a choice of one beer I could have, it'd be the dark lager. Yeah, it's not the beer I drink the most. That would be Simple Things. Like that's just the go-to. I mean, I don't know. In this day and age, like with craft beer, don't get me wrong, I love hazy beers and I'm glad we're doing double IPAs and stuff. And but if I just want a beer, I grab Simple Things.
Yes,
and,
it's delicious. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
I agree. I think it is. I think it's exactly that nice, clean, crisp, easy drinking pilsner. Balanced. But it's got bitterness to it.
It's got flavor.
Yeah, big time. Yeah,
you know, it's lovely. I've been buying it like by the tons. So you'll see that in my fridge almost any time you open.
I know.
It.
I actually, it's funny. I work here, and I get Simple Things when I would like to have it. Yep. But yet I find myself at the liquor store, and I'm like, I really want a lager, and I'm like, I'm just gonna buy Simple Things, you know. So I just, it's that or like my other one, like I buy like Four Winds Elementary Lager, like that's my kind of other go to.
The other one I've been buying is the Twin Sales Back to Basics.
Oh yeah, sweet. Yeah, I think I haven't had that one for a while, but I remember having it and liking it.
It's funny. Like I belong to a lot of like beer groups, like these semi secret like beer discussion groups.
Yeah.
Like people's opinions, who I really trust. Like when everybody. And the funny thing is, you know, there's all these really hype beers and, you know, even stuff down in the States. Like, when you're down in the States, you have to go get...
Oh, you got to have Pliny the Elder. Best ever.
You got to get B-Bomb. You got to go this matchless release. Like, pretty obscure stuff. Like, stuff like I'm surprised to learn about. And the other, like, the one that keeps coming back all the time is Simple Things. Which is, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've noticed it, like, when we're hanging out with, like, other breweries and stuff. And everyone brings beer, and we notice that you kind of look around at one point, and everyone's drinking a Simple Things. And you're like, I don't know. It's just like, and I think it's like a brewer's beer too.
For
like,
sure.
You know, it's just like,
because brewers just know that beer is going to show any flaws.
Yeah. Well, it was funny with the malt we use in that beer is it's the Weyermann. I don't know the exact specific, but it's a very, very I don't know, special malt or whatever you want to say. And when Eric, our brewer, he was talking with one of the guys from Weyermann and saying we made this beer with that malt called Simple Things, and he got like upset because he was like, "It's not simple. It's not simple at all." And we were like, "Well, I know, but we're just joking that it's like a simple beer because it's a pilsner." And he was like, he was actually kind of like offended, but then like they smoothed it out. That's but funny. Yeah, but it was
still
kind
getting
of funny.
That barley.
Yeah, we still got it. Yeah, but yeah, that's so funny. So that's.
For a beer that's named Simple Things, I bet you it went through a lot of iterations while they were working on the recipe.
Yeah, for sure.
It
Yeah, like you said, like those are the beers where you know, you can't hide anything, and not to say breweries are hiding things with, but
it's
easy
to get away with stuff with an IPA. You just
a little,
at it.
I mean, you can, and I don't think everyone's doing that, but
no.
When you're making a clean, crisp. You know, very true pilsner. I mean, you got to nail it, or else it's not going to be good. So
exactly.
I want breweries to start hiding like prizes in 4-packs. Like that was the best thing about getting a new cereal box was the prizes, yeah. And well, I would like Tree that to
like
the
golden can or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, I just like I don't
years
know maybe
ago,
like
Tree did that. They had these little point cards in the 6-packs, and
yeah,
if you just saved enough of them up, you could get a like an umbrella or
like
a
point
or
system
yeah.
Or like or something like, maybe like even like a maze like
yeah.
Actually, get to the maze to drink your beer.
I've seen one in the States. I don't remember what brewery it is, but they have a scratch and win kind of thing on their cans.
Oh, really?
Gambling.
Yeah.
Can't gamble on booze.
No.
No, yeah. It's not gambling. But
yeah, I think I know we had one of the label suppliers I was talking to recently. They were trying to sell me on this new way they print where they can do like basically you can do a run of 10,000 labels and like 3 can be different.
Oh.
Like just like out of the blue.
Really? Okay.
And that was their thing. They were like, oh yeah, you could do like some sort of contest of
the
like, you know.
Can.
And
yeah.
I was and I'm like, I don't know if that's our thing, but yeah.
But
kinda
cool.
Sounds,
it's cool.
Sounds
well,
cool.
Also,
yeah.
Like, it's 4-packs. There's nothing covering yeah. them up.
That's true.
Well, you'd have
yeah.
to be in a box,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you'd have to be in a box, yeah. yeah.
So it's got to be a 12 case or a 6 that's in a box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's I don't know. Cool. I mean, maybe somebody will do it. And I don't know. Maybe we'll do it. I don't know. Who knows?
Do it.
Probably not, but, you know.
Carnell just wants his golden
it
ticket.
It can be, like, a secret prize, and, like, the prize is, like, just pride. Like, you...
You get a free tour
yeah,
of the brewery,
yeah.
which we
come,
already
come
don't charge for.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll tell you 3 compliments.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give you a high five.
Yeah.
Yes. So you open up your 6-pack, and there'll be a card that says, Carnell, you're a handsome boy.
Isn't it like yeah. high fives and hugs or something?
That's like a Steel and Oak thing. Yeah,
yeah.
High fives and hugs. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. An official Steel and Oak high five and hug.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Sweet.
I'm glad we're coming up with ideas for your marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing all these down.
Yeah,
I know. Don't think that these aren't going unnoticed.
I don't have my founder's card with me.
Oh, wow. We got a VIP.
Yeah, we do have a VIP.
I was trying to check if that's what it said. I couldn't remember.
Oh.
It was something like good for high fives and hugs
yeah,
or something.
That sounds about right for us. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your
evening.
We will, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cap. Good to see you, Mike.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right. So, the Red Pills, it's got a nice...
well,
look on it there. It's not hazy.
Well, I came to the realization a while ago that the Red Pils is an odd name because there isn't really a style called a Red Pils.
Oh, God, no.
At the end of the day, I think if you were going to enter this into BJCP-sanctioned contest, you would enter this in an amber category.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I also say, fuck style guidelines, make a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
This is a good beer.
It's got a
it's a little more
a similar
towards
nose,
the malty side.
A little similar nose to Simple Things, but
yep.
more malt.
It's definitely more malty. It doesn't finish as bitter, not quite as hoppy.
Yeah.
No, it's very easy to drink though.
Yeah.
Some of those beers I drink
it
personally.
Sweet. It's not sweet malty.
No.
No, yeah, it's definitely sort of a drier lager. It's got that kind of fruity note and it's got a little more almost like bready than just grainy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, I find, you know, we were talking about lagers generally, and just, like, we've beaten this topic to death, I think, over the months and years, but, like, it's so easy to find a flaw in it, and one of the ones I find in craft lagers is just, like, slightly, it's that sweetness, which, I mean, I'm not a full-time brewer, but I would think it's just, like, a little under,
It's either mashed too warm or the yeast didn't finish.
That's right. Sorry, under fermented.
Attenuated.
I thought maybe, and then I was like, no, don't do it. You'll sound like an idiot. Don't do it. But yeah, the under attenuation. The sweetness, that really cloys at my palate personally.
Yeah. When it's that sweet, it's terrible.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's,
all right.
Introduce yourself, man.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah. Introduce yourself. We don't have another set of headphones,
headset,
unfortunately.
Okay.
You're loud.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
They might be a little sweaty.
That's all good. Hey, guys. I'm Jay. I'm from Steel and Oak. We're live on location today, I say.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was happening, but I just kind of walked into it, came to say hi to my buddy Mike.
Nice,
and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's sit down, talk to the microphone.
What's your position here, man?
So I do, right now I'm the account manager. I'm the account manager. When we opened, I did everything.
Yeah.
There were 6 of us when we opened, basically everything from pouring in the tasting room, delivering kegs out the back, working the bottling line, Hey, we need help because we have to hammer this up on the wall. Basically, hey, you do this. So everything from picking up malts and unloading trucks when they were delivering things. And then as we grew and I started doing outside, deliveries, they pretty much said, well, you know, you're talking all these accounts. Why don't you try selling to them? And then, so now we kind of grew that role and, eventually it was too much for me to do. So, we got a couple extra reps to help us out. So now I'm just kind of account manager sales, still a little bit of events that I do and a variety of stuff. But yeah, that's what I should say I do now.
So what's your best selling beer right now then?
You know, honestly, the Red Pilsner on draft has always been our best seller.
Really?
It's a beer that, when we open with it, I see you gentlemen are drinking some here. That's awesome.
Well, when you first opened, it was my favorite of them.
Totally. And the reason was because it was something different. You see all these styles of beers that were out already, IPAs, pale ales, lagers, yep. Pilsners, and then to have a red pilsner really fit into a draft list.
So it's different, it's interesting, but at the same time, it's also pretty easy to drink, and it's, you know, not crazy.
Familiar, a little bit homey, right? Like, there's those homey flavors, and then with a bit of a twist. And
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I would say that's our best seller. Since we started about a year and a half ago, we started doing a rotating IPA program, where every 2 to 3 weeks we had a different IPA available. That those have really been like the hype train. Like, people really get on that on the social media.
Choo choo. Yeah,
but I all of our beers sell well in their own right.
We
tend to make a good spread of beers.
I guess you did say what's on tap. What about is it the IPAs that are the best selling cans you've got then?
You know, I'd say that the week that we release them, they're the hottest thing. They're hotcakes. They we're canning them, basically selling them as they come off the canning line. You can visualize that. I'd say consistently the Royal City Ale. That's the red can with the white logo. It's just a drinkable beer. It tastes great in the can. It stands out on a shelf, yeah. Too.
I can't remember. Is it technically a pale ale? Is that what it is?
American Blonde Ale. Okay. But our first brewer, Peter, always said that's a pale ale.
That's why.
Yeah, totally. So we called it the Royal City Pale Ale, and then we just started calling it the Royal City Ale because it's technically a blonde ale by the BC standards, but... what do we know?
Yeah, exactly.
Standards are for dorks.
That they are.
It doesn't matter what you call it. Just enter it in the right category.
Yeah, exactly. You beer to glass to lips and don't get it on the floor. That's what I think to tell.
That is the best way to do it, yes.
What are you guys liking right now? What have you tried today?
We were doing the Flight of the...
I'm a big fan of the simple things.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, we did the Flight of the Simple Things, the Red Pilsner... The IPA, I forget which IPA that is, and then it's the Suburbs.
The first IPA was probably our collab with Superflux, and that was Boomerang.
No, it's not the Boomerang.
Boomerang's off. Boomerang's I'm very off. Upset.
Oh, sorry about that, my friend. I'll have to sneak some cans your way. It might be either we have a keg of inline IPA.
No, it's not that.
Or we might have the was it the Hideaway IPA? Does that ring a bell?
I'm not sure. We can't see the menu from here. Suburbs 3, though.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, because it was interesting. Like, I have a can sitting at home in my fridge, haven't touched it because my partner will kill me if I drink it without
totally.
It. And I didn't actually like look into it. I was like, what's it going to be? But you know, it's Steel and Oak and it's Daggerhead. So I'm thinking like there's some play here.
Yeah.
And then I sit down here and drink it. I'm like, no, it's just a straight up Deepa. That's freaking awesome.
You know, when we.
I think it's the homebody.
The homebody. That was the, yes. Okay, that's what we have.
Thank you.
I was gonna say the first time we did Suburbs, neither of our breweries had actually made a formal IPA, and that was the whole joke behind it. Was that we would have two breweries, Daggerhead, which does mainly Belgian styles, and Steel and Oak, which does mainly German styles, and have them get together and create a beer that is. Not like anything you've tasted in these breweries. So we made it as true to form as possible. And I actually had one liquor store that bought a few cases. They said it was kind of like Black Friday. People came rushing in and clawing at the boxes. Like, they're making an IPA. We got to drink it all. And
hopefully no punches were thrown.
Let's hope. No, yeah, no trampling.
No true Black Friday.
Yeah, no. Beer Black Friday. So it's more like, no, you take the bottle, but I'm going to take a bottle for myself.
Why don't we share it?
I'll tell you what, we'll crack this and we'll drink it at your place. No, my place. No, your place. Your place is closer. So then we did it.
So Boxing Day.
Basically, Mike, yeah. So then we did our second one, which was at Daggerhead, and then we did a third one at here. So I think we're just going to keep going back and forth and back and forth. And the joke is that our breweries did not make this style, and then we do now. It kind of has lost a little luster since we started doing all these IPAs.
Yeah.
But that's fine, too.
Not to me.
You got to give the people what they want. And people love their IPAs, and our brewer has come up with some fantastic recipes.
No, I love it. I'm an unabashed, like, IPA lover, or, like, hazy IPA lover.
Yep.
And it's funny because I love all styles, but yeah, two names, didn't look into it very far, expected something, you know, like Belgian or German, something. And then it turns out it's just a hazy IPA with the Kvik race. And I was like, I love Kvik. I love hazy IPAs. Great. I'm still happy.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun with those beers. Yeah. They're definitely some of our top sellers.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Simple Things was actually, you mentioned the Simple Things. That's been going really well for us too.
I've been buying a lot of it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. As the account manager.
Well, thank you. Oh, it's been delicious.
I'll pass that on to the boys in the back.
don't change a thing.
Yeah. You know, it's nice because, people look at the IBUs, like my job with a lot of the clients that we talk to, they look at the IBUs and they're thinking, I don't know, 42 IBU on a Pilsner. And I said, well, just drink it. You'll see where it is. And after you have a sip,
it has the malt backbone to back it up and 100%. Balance it. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's your guys words are so kind.
You should make a session version of it. Make it Simpler Things.
Simpler Things.
Trademarked.
We did a beer called Shiny Things an IPA. And we originally, because originally Simple Things was in tall cans, so we did an IPA called Shiny Things and a straight pilsner called Simple Things. And the Simple Things is what was really popular, so we decided to put that in the small cans because we just didn't have a format like that.
Yeah.
So it ended up working out. And I think there's still rumors of Shiny Things returning, so stay tuned.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Not foreshadowing anything at all. Yeah, that's great.
Not at all.
No, it's very good.
I guess I asked Kevin, what's your favorite beer to drink here?
You know, whenever I'm in the tasting room, I drink a Radler.
Okay.
And I usually do that because I was raised drinking Radler. My mom's of German descent, and she
as a baby,
as a
Kinderbier.
Yeah, exactly. Teenager, more like
19.
19. Don't flip the 9 around. Do not flip it around. So I would have she'd give me a little bit of beer with a lemon, a little bit of lemonade, and that's how she learned to appreciate beer too. So it always has that sort of feeling for me.
Yeah.
And you can always mix the lemonade and the beer, and the beauty of the way we do it too in our tasting room is that you can drink any beer as a rather. You can drink a Roselle as a rather. That's my favorite right now. Mm. You can drink a dark lager as a rather.
That'd be interesting.
Iced tea, as the people tell me.
Yeah, let's do it.
So yeah, so there's a lot of options there. But I think that the Radler is generally the one that I always go back to. Royal City Ale as well. If I had to choose something that we actually package, I keep going back to the Royal City Ale. It's just got a good taste and flavor profile. I love when we do German style beers. Weizenbach and Smoked Honey Doppelbach are two of the ones that I sing their praises every time they come out.
Yeah,
I go into about a 2 week hangover after this. But
it's a good problem.
It's a good problem. It's a reality of our life. Right?
Yeah, so, definitely.
I know you're all here every now and then. I see you guys lingering. Ordering flights whenever we.
If
have
I'm
new
driving
IPA.
Through this neighborhood and I don't have anywhere to be in particular, I'll stop.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so even here. If it's just for a quick pint or to grab a growler,
you know, and that's kind of how we designed the room. It's designed to be a very social place, a place where you can listen to some vinyl, start up a conversation. We don't want to have televisions. We don't even want TVs to tell you what's on tap or anything.
Yeah.
You know, we just want it to be a very social place, very genuine, and just have a good vibe to it.
And I definitely love what you've done once you removed the office that used to be where we're sitting
now. That's exactly where we're sitting, right.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's just
no work,
room
all
up.
Play.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, the room always seemed so small
back in the
first,
day.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
And now it actually feels like it's got a little bit of space.
Once we got approved for everything approved for our licensing to have 50 people or so, it was just kind of this, we said, let's do it. Let's take out the office and make it work. And that's been very successful for us. It's also nice, like, I love it because when, you know, 5 years ago when we opened, people were still kind of discovering what was happening in New West. New West really had a big turnaround about 5 years ago, where it went from being kind of a grungy area of town to actually having some revitalized areas. So
yeah.
Whenever, myself having grown up here and a bunch of the staff as well, when we had people come in, we would explain to them, oh, you should go check out, you know, walk down the boardwalk, check out what's at the River Market, because you can get awesome food or a cup of tea, you know, or go to, you know, go check out this place on Columbia, or, you know, check out Sapperton. You can go to Queen's Park for a nice walk. There's some really neat gems in the city. And I feel like having this be a destination for people from outside of the city, not just from Vancouver, but from Richmond, from Portland,
yeah, sure.
Langley,
yeah.
You know, to come in and be like, oh, we want to check this out. Now, what else do we do while we're here? We say, oh, check this place out. You know, the city's kind of turned around. It's been neat watching it over the last few years.
Totally, yeah.
Being a part of it.
Banny and I, our favorite thing to do is, like, we're like, oh, we got, like, 2 or 3 hours. Like, let's go to Big Star in Columbia,
yeah,
and then go have, like, a beer or two at Steel and Oak. It is, like, yeah. It's and as you say, like, Columbia has been one of those places that's been really revitalized in the last 5 or 6 years. Like, yeah. It's kind of fun parking, even if you're a little further away than where you intend to be, and walking those streets. It's got a real nice downtown feel to it. You
definitely.
Know, grabbing your sandwich and coming over here and enjoying yourself.
Also, just to that point, too, for a lot of the people that live in New West, you know, it has that small town feel because we have a very, like you said, Big Star. I know Clint very well, the owner of the brand of Big Star. He lives next door to me.
Nice.
Or, you know, or
did you get free sandwiches?
No. So, well, sometimes there's some contra trade. Let's put it that way. I feed your belly, you feed mine.
Yeah. I love it.
But also, you know, I like one of our regulars, Dave, who comes here. His nickname's Dark Lager Dave because he always drinks the dark lager. You know, he's Jordan's neighbor, but also I went to high school with his son.
Yeah.
We were best friends going through high school. So it's just kind of funny to have that sort of real community feel and to be able to keep it and have a place for it to foster.
While being in the middle of everything.
Yeah, totally. New West has always kind of been that way. It's been a bit of a cloverleaf for transiting through. But
oh, yeah. It's definitely central.
Yeah, don't plan to drive anywhere between the hours of 4 o'clock and 7.
Yeah.
Just
dawn and dusk?
Dawn and dusk, yeah, basically. Unless you really like sitting in your car.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the radio's good. You know, you got some good things on. So.
Podcast or something.
Yeah. Hey. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Exactly. Say no more.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I gotta take off.
No worries, man.
Out the door, but I'm glad I came over to say hey.
Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, right on.
Good to see you, man.
Thanks, man.
Cheers. Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, brother.
Homebody.
So, yeah, this is the Homebody IPA. It's definitely another.
It's hazy.
I wouldn't say it's murky, but it's hazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think too many findings were used.
Yeah, no. And it's got kind of that tropical nose.
Yeah, it definitely smells like you'd expect it to.
Yeah. It's not going to kick you in the face, but nope, it's got a nice aroma.
It's not overpowering in any way.
Yes. I finished all my samples and I'm just watching drinking beer.
He was silly.
Yeah.
I'm almost getting like a hint of Brett.
A little bit of, yeah, it does have a hint of Brett. I don't know. Does it actually have any?
I don't know, but I get that sort of dry kind of thing.
I agree. It's got that dryness. It might just be the overabundance of hops. Who knows? But it's definitely got that kind of pineapple-y, I don't think it's mango really, but that super tropical note without being sweet.
Yep.
Because it is on the dry side.
You bet. Yeah,
and, you know, it's just got the, for a New England or, you know, East Coast IPA, it's got more bitterness than most of them do, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a West Coast IPA at all or anything.
You know, it struck me when I was having this one of those beers, and you see them pop up, and I think the big seller is the New England tag, but yeah. It's more of a hybrid.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you're right.
No, a No Coast IPA, like
I call it a Midwest.
Yeah. I think that's what Powell Street's. Yeah.
This is a St. Louis IPA.
But it's really tasty. I really like it.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, IPA. Yeah, that's right. Bismarck, North Dakota IPA. Yeah.
It's pretty.
What's the Midwest in Canada? It's a Saskatoon IPA.
There we go.
Yeah,
it's pretty decent. But yeah, like you said, it's not like huge. It's not punching you in the face, right?
And then our last one here is the Suburbs 3, the collaboration. This one's a little more murky.
That's the Dagger at Steel and Oak one?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the one.
And this is definitely hazy.
Yeah, definitely the full murk.
You will have heard or will hear, because we're going to chat about this. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to edit this one, but we talk about this one.
Yeah. And it has a very similar aroma. It's a little more fruity, maybe a little more tropical.
Definitely. And there's more. It's a little more green than the other one.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There's so much hops going on.
Way
there.
More hops.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Actually, it's settled down. It's not as green as it was.
That finish is ridiculously bitter.
Yeah.
It is not so hoppy bitter. You get that, like, that tickle, the scratchiness at the back of your throat.
I wouldn't say bitter as much as it is just resinous.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It kind of reminds
dank.
Me of that.
Yeah, dank, but it's bitter without being actually bitter.
Like the grapefruit rind.
Yeah.
That's what I get off of.
The pith.
The pith.
Yeah, the pith.
Yeah, the pith.
It's bitter with everything but bitterness.
Yeah.
And I like it. Like, I don't like grapefruit, but I almost feel like it's it's one of the reasons I never really liked those big old school West Coast IPAs, because it was just that grapefruit bitterness.
I love that grapefruit juice.
No,
thing.
That this is right up my alley though.
This is good.
Yeah.
What's the percentage on this?
Just guess. What do you think the percentage is?
8.3.
It's 8.0.
That was close.
You were.
You can't really taste it though.
No,
it's
that's
not
why
hot
I wanted to
way.
Quiz you on it, because I don't really notice that. I mean, it's not that it isn't alcoholic. Like, you can definitely tell, but I would still say like 6.5 or 7 max.
Yeah. I'd say it's fairly easy drinking, except for that excessive hop thing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
That makes it a little more of a sipper.
Agreed. All right, why don't we get another flight going on here, and then we'll come back. All right, we got another flight in front of us. I'll just call out the beers quickly, and then we'll start getting into them. We got the Roselle, the Talanoa, is that it? The Oyster Stout, and the Rausch beer.
So the goal here is to drink them faster than anybody else at the table, correct?
Is it?
No, that's what you do.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Is it Rausch beer, or would the drink
Rauch
be?
Rausch beer, yeah. You gotta, get that phlegm going.
German is a dialect of Klingon, right?
Okay, so can you say Rausch beer in Klingon, please?
No.
Rock, right. I don't know.
The Roselle. What's the Roselle about?
All right, the Roselle. 5.5%, 22 IBUs, hibiscus and rose hips combined with Belgian yeast to create a crisp and refreshing wheat ale. That's interesting. I didn't know hibiscus or roses had legs in order to have hips.
Oh.
It's got a really nice kind of orange, like hazy color to it. It's not that, it's not the New England orange. It's like a kind of an
slightly orange.
It's a really delicious, like something I would describe more as like a delicate flavor.
Well, you got to start with the aroma a little bit, right?
Smells like flowers.
It does.
Kind of floral, kind of fruity.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sweeter than I was expecting. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's got kind of a interesting, yeah. It's got that very floral note to it. It's got some definite fruit.
Yeah,
what would you say? What would you say that fruitiness is, though? It's kind of a sort of general citrusiness.
Yeah, more like a juicy fruit kind of.
Yeah,
I almost get. I might be wrong here. It's not like it's one of those fruits I don't often like pick up, but
it's not beets. Callback.
Yeah, almost like a guava.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
And it's got a little sweetness, but it finishes with a little bit of a dry, bitter finish.
Yeah. It's got kind of a little bit of yeasty bubblegum going on at the very end.
Yeah.
As I have a couple extra sips, I'm getting a little more bubblegumminess going on.
You're absolutely right.
Would that be from is it the Belgian-style yeast, was it?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's generally where that comes from.
I like it, though.
Yeah, that's nice.
I picked it. I've had it at a couple of restaurants with food, and like I'm always happy with my decision when I have this beer with some food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a lighter beer, so I find like it almost like cleanses that the palate just a little bit for the next taste.
Well, the way it finishes, I could see that cleansing your palate from greasy things and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had it with tacos at a taco place, and I thought it was really good with sort of hot sauce, because I'm not a big hot sauce person. I like a little bit, and then I'm one of these guys who's like, I ate too much, my mouth is on fire. There you go.
And I find this is just like a nice beer to have with food. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. When okay. I'm not as interested in the beer, but I want to enjoy it.
Yeah. You don't want to have to pick it apart. You just want to enjoy a good beer.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and some certain beers pair better with food, too, right?
Yeah.
IPAs with Indian food.
I used to be a big fan of the Cutthroat Pale Ale from Tree because it paired really well with just about any kind of food.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Well, they brewed that down in Vancouver now, so you can get it at least. Yeah, it's brewed at Big Rock.
Yeah.
So, Big Rock Urban.
Rick Dello.
Is that who the brewer is there now?
He's the brewer there now, the head brewer. Yeah, so he was at R&B, and then when R&B switched hands, he moved over to Factory. And then from factories now at Big Rock.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I could see myself drinking a lot of this in the summer, like when it's warm out on a patio.
This would be easy to drink on a patio.
As much as simple things as a well-made beer, I don't like Yellow Fizzy. I could drink a lot of this on a patio.
Yeah, this is decent.
And you're not going to hide a lot of flaws behind this either, really.
No, it's low in the IBUs and that. It's quite light in flavor, so yeah, there's nothing getting hidden in there.
Yeah, and this with a lighter beer, right, we talk about this, it's easier to pull out flaws. Like it's
yeah.
I don't taste anything off. It's just like, I think that's why I'm drawn to this beer, because it's like, oh, it tastes the way I want it to taste.
It's solid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, Steel & Oak, High Bar.
Yeah, I haven't had too many beers from Steel & Oak that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And now that they make IPAs, I'm even happier.
I don't know. I kind of like the niche breweries. I like guys who say, we're going to make German stuff, or we're going to make this, or make that, and sort of narrow their niche a bit.
Oh, definitely. But sometimes I just really want an IPA, but I still want to go to that brewery.
Yeah.
You know, it's my go-to as an IPA.
Well,
so
I think as a company that's producing a product that you're selling to people, I think you'd be silly not to produce something that people buy, that
definitely
demand.
He put it best.
Wait. The head brewer. Just
the head brewer that we had on. He put it best, like, oh, I love this beer, but I can't just make the beer I like, which I thought was great to finally hear brewers say, because so often you hear, oh, we're just making the beer that we want. Like, no. Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a business, and you have to make money. And you make money by selling the beer that people will buy.
And I think it's way more badass, to be honest, than it is to sort of joke around with this tagline.
Well, I sort of get where brewers are coming from when they say that they brew what they like. For years, that's what I did as a home brewer. I would brew what I liked, and it just so happened that it resonated with other people, and I'd win gold awards and, you know, best of show and shit like that, just because what I was striving for, other people could enjoy as well.
Yeah.
So I sort of get that, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. You need to make what people will buy.
I home brewed a little, too, and I didn't have the same experience because I don't think they give a word for most mediocre or not the worst beer here.
Well, and we've talked a little bit about, I think in the not too distant future, we're going to try to do a homebrew episode.
Heck yeah.
Where we're all going to bring some of our own homebrew and pick it apart. And if you don't have to pick it apart, then perfect.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few of us in this group that are professional brewers.
People here, who is professionally?
Yeah,
I've brewed beer on a professional basis.
Hey,
I
brewed a beer at a real brewery that we all decided as a team was not good enough to put on tap. So I have brewed beer at a.
let's hope that doesn't happen at our collaboration coming up with Silver Valley Brewing.
They literally. Why don't you just take it home?
Oh God. All right. Well, after talking about that shitty beer, let's talk about the next good beer we got in front of us.
I'm super stoked because I actually know one of the brewers on this beer. I was just putting this all together. So
is a female brewed beer, right?
That's right.
Oh, nice. This is like one of the, even if it's not official, it's one of the Pink Boots beers then?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know how. Yeah. To introduce it, from Steel & Oak, their copy reads Talanoa, 5.6%, designed and brewed by the women of Steel & Oak. Talanoa was conditioned on black currant puree and rosemary. Pouring a striking pink color from the black currants, Talanoa has aromatic notes of fresh gooseberry, passion fruit, and floral qualities of carnations and roses. A sweet, earthy taste with a hint of rosemary and pine. Talanoa was fermented with American ale yeast, so it finishes clean and fruity.
I would say that it's actually a little more red than pink, yeah. Personally.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
But I would say it's definitely striking.
It is striking, and it's got a beautiful nose.
It's, yeah, kind of, you get that berry thing going yeah. on, but it's also a little floral.
A little floral, a little bit of that gooseberry thing going on. I can't pick a lot of what it is, though, but it's really nice.
It's a real, like, I describe it as, like, a deep flavor.
Mm. Wow.
It's got a ton of berry without it being, like, the gooseberry, without being sweet or anything. There's a lot of...
The spice is coming through.
Yeah, spice too, but there's a lot of that flavor coming through, which is nice. This is really, really drinkable.
Yeah.
It's definitely different and very interesting, and I agree.
This is another patio beer for me.
It's a really beautiful beer. It's like I was saying, it's got like that, you know, you could crush this and you'd be doing this beer a disservice because it's sort of, I think it lends itself to actually being like sipped and tasted. There's a lot.
It finishes really clean and dry. Like it makes you want to sip again.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you could just crush. You could.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what you should do. Yeah,
the front of your tongue expects it to be sweet almost, but then it's dry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back, and I may have this totally off, but it was made for the International Women's Day. And I think,
yes.
As you say, there was some pink boots, but I think
the
big thing is that it was just like Steel and Oak doing a cool thing, International Women's Day, let's get our female stuff.
They made their own beer instead of getting together at Dogwood with the rest of
to make that beer. I think there's actually two official pink beer event, brew days this
year. Dogwood was the big one.
Dogwood was the big one, but then there was also one at Callister as well.
That's right, yeah. Diane did one, you're
right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe this might not be an official Pink Boots. I'm not sure, but it's
advantage.
It's designed and brewed and stuff by the women of the brewery. So that's awesome. And it's
good job, ladies. Good job.
Yeah, well done. It's freaking super well executed, and another good reminder that like
my favorite thing about this beer is the lack of sweetness.
Yeah.
Not tart, but it's not sweet.
Exactly. It's right in that middle ground.
Yeah.
One more reason to have. More women or more equal representation of women in craft beer.
Women actually have better taste receptors in their tongues. So when it comes to sensory, women are better.
Yeah.
Most people in the wine industry that do blending are women.
Yeah. And I think it's similar with any kind of barrel blending and stuff. In most alcohol industries, I think it's often the women that do it.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, good segue. I heard this, and I heard it whilst listening to... the podcast down in San Diego.
Indie Beer Show.
Shout out. So I guess we should just say shout out and thank you very much, Indie Beer Show, for taking the time to be a patron of ours.
Yes.
Really enjoyed listening to the show that you guys did down in, I think it was a distillery.
I think it was actually San Diego Distillery, but I couldn't
remember. Yeah, San Diego Distillery. I listened to that while walking my dog, and it was really enjoyable. And if you're looking for... actually, I always say this. If you're going to travel and you like beer, just go to California.
Yeah.
Just go to California. If you want to just like have something different than the Pacific Northwest, like you want to be warm, you want to go on vacation,
gotcha.
And you like beer,
San Diego.
Go to California because, you know, you throw a stick, you hit a good brewery, and it's nice and warm. And I don't know, I've found this personally all through the States. People are actually like, when you talk to them one-on-one, kind, nice people, happy to chat.
I've met lots of really friendly people in tasting rooms. It's amazing.
So, anyways, shout out to the Indie Beer Podcast.
Indie Beer Show, Jesus.
Indie Beer. Listen, I'm two flights in. I love this show.
Carnell's a flight ahead of us.
Yeah, he is.
That's right. Actually, I'm going to be down in California in a couple of weeks, so I can't wait to be a vacationer down there again and do some beer stuff. Thank you very much to Indie Beer Show. So, Banny is a huge fan of Disney, and we're going down with our family this time, so we're doing the parks. But we discovered that the area around the parks in Anaheim is home to an amazing amount of breweries. And I got to say, Banny has a blog that she writes, not very often, but she's got a really good blog. If you're like a mom or a dad who loves craft beer and you're listening right now and you know you got to take your kids to Disneyland and in the next 3 or 4 years, you need to go to brewsbabesbanny.com because she has laid out for you the best way to do Disneyland and also go to some of the best craft breweries in Southern California.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of decent beer in Disneyland.
Nope.
Oh, no. You only California Adventure, I think, has beer.
Really? They do. Only California Adventure has beer.
Unless you're rich and you're part of the, what's that?
Disney
Club
World.
23. Club 23, yeah.
Disney
yeah.
World in Orlando has beer, Disney too, World, but it was garbage.
The Magic Kingdom, which is the like sort of the more kiddie park,
yeah.
has only beer at some of the restaurants.
Yeah.
But every other park there has beer.
Yeah. The only park that had good beer was Epcot.
Yeah, Epcot, well, because they do, like, World of Beer.
I was there last year, and in the Avatar section, there was two beers there. That were quite tasty.
Okay.
We're not talking world-beating, but they were good.
Okay.
And I had some decent beers in every park except for Magic Kingdom. Oh, no, wait. At Magic Kingdom at the, was it Belle's Castle or whatever it is? It's the Beauty and the Beast Castle.
Yeah.
I had,
Be
my guest.
I am also, now, I'm not a fan of Disney movies. I'm a fan of the parks because they're incredible.
Oh, they are incredible.
The amount of detail.
But I had a, what is it here? The Red Blue Labels Belgian beers.
Chimay.
Oh. I had a Chimay Red.
What?
Yeah.
At Disney.
Oh, Disney World. Shit.
Yeah, honestly, like, it's not as bad as you would think. You go to...
In my experience, the other place...
Universal?
Universal Studios, they had a better selection of beers.
It was
especially
okay.
In the Harry Potter section.
So here's the thing. Yeah,
they
Universal, they have some, like, English beers in the Harry Potter. I didn't get to try it when I was at Universal because we spent, like, 4 hours there, but... California Adventure, they do have Carl Strauss. Carl Strauss is one of the bigger, original, like, big California breweries.
Yeah.
Like, they, if you're thinking big in BC, you're thinking Parallel 49 and Phillips, they dwarf
Red
Phillips.
Racer.
They dwarf these guys,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So they have money to buy contracts, and that's what they do. But, like, you talk about treating employees well, you talk about quality, they both do those things well. So, like, I don't feel bad about, and the beer
definitely.
Is very, like, it's not going to be the knock your socks off hazy IPA, but it's going to
it's
be
decent.
Very well-made beer, yeah.
Very well-made beer. So you can get that in California Adventure. But the real thing is, and like I say, Benny wrote the best article I've seen so far on this. If you're like a Vancouverite who loves beer, has kids, has to do this trip, she tells you how to do it. You get up early. You do the rides you want. You come back at 11 o'clock. You throw them down for a nap. You take the, you take the Uber literally 10, 15 minutes down the road. You check out breweries like Green Cheek, who has, I think, they have some connection to Monkish or something else. They make great hazy IPAs. Noble makes some incredible beer. Bottle Logic is the biggest one. The Brewery Tarot, the brewery. And also Mr. K's Liquor, which is like one of the best bottle shops. These breweries, like, if they were in the Vancouver area, they would be, you know, in our very, very top tier.
How times have changed. The last time I was in Anaheim was probably 20 years ago, and I went for a walk down the street to go to the liquor store, and I was afraid I was going to get stabbed.
The last time I was in Anaheim,
you may have that feeling still, but the beer is good.
But there wasn't any breweries. I was heading to Arby's.
Last time I was in Anaheim, I think I was 6 years old. and I was at Disneyland.
The last shout out I have to give is actually to the Carl Strauss Brewer. And I'm doing this on behalf of Banny because he's reached out, I know, to Banny several times. Last 3 or 4 times he's been down there and asked us to come by and see him every time at the brewery. And I think we're going to really try and make a point of going down.
Do they can any beer at all? Or bottle?
I think, they definitely bottle and can. They're
well, then bring some beer up and we'll put it on the show.
Yeah. Well, that's an idea. That's a good point. I think we're going to try and do it because I think the brewer that she's contacted, because they have several breweries.
Yeah,
they've been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
It's the one from the Universal City Walk, I believe. I could be wrong.
That's the one I was at last.
Yeah. And
most of the beer was good. There was one that was undrinkable.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bar is just a little higher down there. It's bigger market.
Well,
like
sure.
We talk about this, right? Like you just don't. And I think our best beer is as good as their best beer. I just think the bar for the minimal effort is a little bit higher down there.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's worth all checking right. out if you're going to Disneyland.
Let's get off of Disney talk here, and let's get back to the next beer.
Oyster Stout.
This is a collab. Oh, wait. I'm going to read this again. Here we go.
Don't drink this if you're allergic to shellfish.
Yeah, you'll die and stuff.
Don't drink this if you're selfish.
you shellfish man, you.
And as we go through these, I am working on my voice for cartoons and voice work. What is this one called? The Oyster Stout?
Yes. Yeah. I think there's more of a name to it than that.
Interstate Love Song.
Ooh.
6.8%.
Wow.
This stout was brewed with whole BC oysters from Desolation Sound. Added to the boil, the oysters impart minerality and a pleasing, briny note.
It will have that salty calcium thing.
A hearty addition of cacao nibs post-fermentation accentuate the chocolate, and a roasty note from malt to round out this collaborative brew.
Who was
the collaboration with? Do you remember?
Gigantic Brewing out of Washington State.
No, Oregon.
Oregon. From the States, yeah.
From Oregon.
Yeah, well,
the first thing I get on the aroma of this is roast, like coffee and chocolate mixed.
The guy's from... Yeah. Oh, wow. That's real good. I didn't even smell. I just went in for it.
Go get in the aroma, then.
I always smell right up my nose, and then it hurts.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm getting the coffee nibs.
That's beautiful.
You mean cocoa nibs?
Cocoa nibs, sorry.
You said coffee nibs.
Cacao nibs. Cacao nibs.
Cacao. And it definitely tastes like coffee.
There's a little fluidity. Component. There's a little brininess to it.
A little bit.
Not a lot.
I hear they use brackish water.
For people that don't know, like when you get an oyster stout, it's not going to taste like oysters. It's going to have a little salinity, a little saltiness.
Just a bit.
That's it.
I think
so.
The main
if you don't like oysters like me, you'll still like the beer probably.
I think the main thing you're getting from the oysters when you're brewing with them is the calcium from the oyster shells.
Yeah.
Is going to help a little bit with the pH because you're putting in all that roasted malt with high pH. So it helps balance things out a bit.
And you're going to also make sure that the brewers that are hungry get to eat something.
Yeah, you get a free lunch.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's just got so much flavor going on.
I need to make a crab beer sometime.
Twin Sails did one with...
Yeah.
And you know what?
That again?
It didn't taste at all like crab.
No, I know. It was great.
Because the crab all went in the brewer's mouths.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate crab again, too, but it was a great beer. This is great. I've had actually a couple glasses of this already.
Now, this is really nice. It's just a little bit of sweetness. It's almost like a double-double. It tastes like that creamy coffee with a little bit of sugar.
No,
a little bit of roast. A little bit of roast.
Don't put it down there. It's much better than
single-double? What is it then?
Tim Hortons has done more to destroy the Canadian identity.
But a double-double doesn't have to mean that. It just means 2 milks of sugar.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, that's all it means.
I believe that they have appropriated that word in a negative sense.
Go to any coffee shop and say double-double. They'll give you 2 milk, 2 sugar.
There you go.
Or 2 cream, 2 sugar.
Right after they spit in your coffee.
This is a breakfast beer.
Yes, it is.
I agree wholeheartedly. This is delicious beer. I love this beer.
This beer also would go down really well at 8 a.m.
It would. You know, it goes down really well right now in 20-degree weather in mid-March.
And that says something.
Yeah.
And it'll go well with the high of like 14 Celsius tomorrow. Because we're losing our nice sunny weather.
Enough of that negative talk.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
supposed to go riding tomorrow. But.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is really, really nice. And I mean, Gigantic is well known for making really interesting, fun beer.
They're also known for doing collaborations with BC breweries.
Yes, they are. They've done from East End with Love.
Yeah.
From P49
a couple times.
Superflux a couple times.
They've been up here.
Yeah, I really appreciate how they're pushing into our market. And it's
They don't necessarily sell their beer here.
They do, but not a ton of it.
But they're still interested in coming here and making us a part of their market. I think they understand that the people from BC travel to Washington State and to Oregon.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Looking for beer.
And also, I think
you can build.
Doesn't matter. Like, people love to come on holidays, and we've got a beautiful place to live here.
Oh, yeah.
So why not go on a holiday and then make it a business trip too, right? You know, you come up and you play with a different brew system. You know, you have some fun and you drink a bit too much and, you know, have a great time.
All under the guise of business.
Yeah.
Well,
write-off.
My understanding is they have a really good relationship with the importers of their beer.
Yes.
Which is it Untappd? Is that the right name?
Sure. I'm not sure who's doing this stuff.
It's the same people who own Superflux. So for people who are out there,
Copper Theory then.
Copper and Theory.
Is that right?
So this is somebody. Listen to this.
Adam,
message me. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm Googling right
Super
now.
Superflux also runs a distribution company.
Yeah.
And they have relationships. And one of the groups they have relationships with is Gigantic. Yep. They bring a Gigantic beer. And that's how they've been able to secure, my understanding is, they've been able to secure those collaborations. And I'm not putting it down by any means. A relationship's a relationship is a relationship.
Yep.
It's a good relationship. And it leads to good beer. I've got no issue with that.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding of why they have some presence up here with the collaboration.
That makes sense.
And whatnot.
Copper Theory has a pretty damn strong portfolio up here, too.
They sure do. So they've been careful to pick good beers and good breweries.
I mean, let's just shout out a couple that they've got. Anchorage Brewing Company, Cascade, Gigantic, Ninkasi, Left Hand Brewing, Frim, Rogue. Frim. Upright.
I love
Goose Tilken.
I can't afford Frim.
Stillwell Brewing.
Yeah.
McKellar.
They're not going for the big guys. They're not going for the names. They're going for the quality.
Or Freigeist. They're going for really good quality, yeah. And that's just a couple of Breakside. Yeah. All right, well, why don't we skip on to the rock beer. Roche beer.
We will rock you beer.
Rock beer. I'm a fan of Rauch beer.
It looks like a brown ale to me, almost. Just in the
There's that Marzen one that comes out in the fall from Germany that I really like. But this one's a little darker, for sure. I wouldn't quite say it's a brown. It's a little lighter than a brown, but not by much.
Yeah, but you know, it's got that kind of look to it. It's got it's not a stout. Like, it's got the chestnut color to it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't smell like a brown. It smells like
Beechwood smoke.
It smells like smoke, yeah. It
smells like smoked salmon.
Yeah, smoked salmon or...
campfire.
It smells like campfire. And, I mean, I do love campfire smell. I love walking in. I love going to somewhere after a week of camping with that campfire smell and everyone knows you were camping.
Wow. So the brewer was telling us there was up to 90% of Beechwood smoked malt in this beer.
Which is amazing because I've had smoked beers that were like...
I've had much
punch
stronger.
You in the face, worse than the like highest IBU IPA you've ever had.
Yeah.
This doesn't really punch you in the face.
No, it's quite drinkable.
Yeah.
It's there, it's obvious, but it's not like punching you in the face saying, hey, I'm smoky.
And I mean, this isn't my favorite smoked beer out there.
No.
But there's no flaws to it. It is what it should be.
It is. I'm looking at the color and I'm wondering, but I think the roasted component is adding a little bit of bitterness to it.
A little bit.
Which is working.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, that would be my only complaint would be the color, but I think it's helping.
What about you, Carno?
It's interesting, right? Because I'm with Mike in a lot of ways. Until recently, I hadn't had a lot of smoked beers that I really, you know, turned my crank. And then I had some that really blew me away. And I was sort of expecting to have an opinion right away on this beer. And I don't. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's sitting on my palate. And it's kind of like, it's a toughie.
Yeah.
But, you know, who doesn't love... you know, drinking beer and thinking really hard about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny because I've been a judge for the Festive Ale in Penticton for years now. And there's, you know, back 3 or 4 years ago, I was one of the judges that rallied against it winning for Best of Show. It won, but it wasn't for me because it was just too smoky.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, it's changed a little bit. And now I'm like, I'd probably pick that beer now. And again, I'm not going to drink your average like German Rausch beer. It's just rock beer, whatever. It's too much for me.
Listen, it's but this not, kind it's of not thing a is quaffer. Yeah, this is not a session beer in any way.
No, but you know what? I just took another sip, and I'm into it.
Yeah, this one's accessible.
I believe they have their place, and I could see this beer matching really well or pairing really well with like some cheese or some charcuterie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
maybe cheese. Some like sharp cheddar or even blue cheese, maybe. Yeah. Something a little stronger.
And that'd be really interesting, I think.
And you know what I mean? Like, there's value in an experience. And, like, you know, this is one of those beers where you don't necessarily need to be crushing 16-ounce cans.
Yeah.
You can just appreciate this beer on its own. And, like, I think this is This is not the best smoke beer that I've ever had, but it's by no means the worst. I had a lot of crappy ones. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And, I would go ahead and say, like, yeah, I'm enjoying this 4-ounce taster. I don't know that I would order a pint, but I'm enjoying this.
I would order 12.
I think the pint would only fly if you had some beer to pair with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a barbecue,
but it's a
really... if you had the right match, I think it would work really well.
Really great example of, like, how... I mean, like, we've been saying this the whole time we've been here, but, like, you know, Steel and Oak has a friggin' bar.
Yeah.
And it doesn't dip below that bar. It's
No.
For a traditional style German beer, they've done a good job representing it.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's just another example. It's just another example of the quality coming out of this spot.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this episode on Steel and Oak Brewing in New Westminster. If you've never been here before, make sure to come out.
Do it, yeah.
And we'd love to shout out to our Patreon supporters.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Indie Beer Show from San Diego. Liz from Hop Bauer with Southern California Hop Supplier.
And Steve.
And then Steve, one of our hosts.
Steve, I love it.
So
Steve's paying himself?
Yeah, he's helping us increase our show. So if you like our show and you want to help us out, help us get onto a new host and possibly even release episodes early to Patreon subscribers if we can, that's kind of one of our goals. If you want to help that happen, go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. And to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.